Adam, what's going on, my guy?
Rob Crabtree, how's it going on this Thursday night?
Oh, man, it's Friday Eve, man, and I am so looking for the weekend. How about you?
Same, man, same. Just, it's been a long weekend. It's only been 3.5 days.
Yeah, man, you got any plans for the week?
I'm just going to actually kind of lay low, clean my house up, work on my, I got to book a flight here to New York in the next for 2.5 weeks from now. So I'll definitely do that. And besides that, man, just like I said, take it easy and watch some basketball. How about you?
Well, first off, I have to ask you, are you going home to Brooklyn?
I don't know that I'm gonna have time. I'm definitely gonna go to Manhattan. I'm gonna fly into New York on Wednesday morning. Reason being to catch the first flight out of OKC. If I make it there, my flight would get there like 11 something. I can go get a hotel in Manhattan or Midtown, and then I will be able to knock off one of my top five, probably top three things on my bucket list, and go to Yankee Stadium and watch a Yankee game because they have one game at home that I could potentially make it to. So,
oh, that would be dope. That would be dope.
Then
that's cool, man.
I'll also, not to keep rubbing it in, but I'll also catch the final home game of the New York Knicks versus the Pacers, and I have never been to Madison Square Garden, so.
Oh man, so you're gonna knock off two things in one trip. That's pretty dope.
Yep, but it's for a family member's wedding. You know, it's wedding season. I'm sure you know all about that. But yeah.
Yep, that's definitely, I do definitely know all about that. So that's awesome, man. To answer your question, the only really plan is, obviously, for those of you maybe just tuning to the show, I'm not too far from Kansas City. So the lady and I and the in-laws, we're going to go catch the Sweet 16 games tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. I've never been to an NCAA tournament game, so I'm looking forward to that. So,
wait, so you are going to go to the games?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool because no Kansas-based teams are around for in this region, so tickets are like hella cheap. So I thought, hell, why not? So just to put in perspective how cheap it is, Adam, me and my fiance for court-level seats – for all three games, that's two Sweet 16s and Elite Eight game, $84 a piece.
Wow.
For three games. So that's, that kind of just tells, like, yeah, you know, so it was like too good to pass up, man. So we convinced the in-laws to go with us. So four tickets, court level seats, $200. Now, if that's not a steal, I don't know what is, man. So, and it's going to be kind of cool. You know, I don't have any cheering interest in any of the teams as far as fan base wise, you know, I mean, my bracket's pretty much fucked at this point. So, you know what? So I'm not pulling for that. So, you know, I'm just going to go watch for the pure love of basketball. And I'm really excited because I can mark that off my book. You were talking about knocking things off your bucket list, and that'll knock one off mine too. You know, watching a Sweet 16, knowing that that game is meaningful. So I'm looking forward to that. So, but, let's go ahead and get started, Adam.
Can I dedicate the show to something real quick tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay, so those of you that know me or don't know me, I'm a big New York sports fan, at least for basketball and baseball and hockey, not football for some reason. I don't understand that, but oh well. The captain, Willis Reed, died two days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
Rob, do you know Willis Reed's like his most influential or most like rememberable moment from his career?
I was listening to the First Take the other day, and I remember, if I remember correctly, had to do something with, he had some sort of injury and he wasn't supposed to play, and then he came out and played, and then they ended up winning the title, the most recent title the Knicks have had. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, so My dad was actually at that game, and this is the story that he tells me and everything, and then it's pretty accurate. But they were playing the mighty Lakers in the NBA Finals with Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, a bunch of good players, and it was Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. Willis had been injured for a good portion of the series, and what correct to what you said wasn't supposed to play. And then during a shoot around in the warmups, he comes out of the tunnel and goes to join the rest of the Knicks on the shoot around. He didn't miss a shot in the shoot around before the game. All the Lakers players just stopped what they were doing as far as warming up and watched him warm up. And
I think Marv Albert, I don't mean to cut it, and I believe Marv Albert, I believe, had a famous announcing like, "Here comes Willis." Or something like that. Like, there's like a famous call or something.
And you know damn well if a whole team is stopping to watch one guy, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, we fucked up now.
Yep. And then he hits the first two shots of the game. I actually think that's the only points he had in the game. He went, he met his first two shots, got the first 4 points, and then the Knicks went on to win the championship. I think that was actually their first of two championships.
Yep.
If I'm correct, because I don't know that Willis was a part of the second championship. But anyway, so yeah, rest in happiness, Willis Reed. I didn't really get to watch you play, but man, that's a hell of a story there for sure.
Yeah, RIP, RIP. Real quickly, just a quick shout out on a little happier note. We weren't going to cover it in the show, but I feel like we must talk about this since we're both local Columbia kids. Shout out to Kim English, a former Mizzou player. He was coaching for what was the school he was coaching? Well, George Madison, right?
George Mason. Like
that. George Mason. That's right. George Mason. He recently, or as recently as today, was named the new head coach for Providence. So that's a big time job for him. You know, he goes to the Big East. Providence is a big time program, so good for him. So good things happening to former Mizzou players. So good shout out to Kim English. He's one of my favorite all-time like Mizzou players.
Yeah, and you know, he was a guy that never really did anything wrong, made all the right decisions on the court. I mean, just a standout, like just overall good person. He started his coaching career with the teddy bear that used to coach Mizzou. Frank Haith at Tulsa, and then he's worked his way around a few teams.
We don't like to talk about Frank Haith.
Yeah, but you know what? We had Matt Painter on an airplane coming to Mizzou to coach us, and look what happened to him in the NCAA tournament the last 3 years. He lost to a 15 seed last year in the first round, lost in the second round last year, excuse me, to St. Peter's. The year before, they lost in the first round. I can't remember who they lost to. And then this year, which we are going to probably jump right into.
Yeah, let's just transition to it.
Yeah, let's so we had a 16. Go ahead.
Let's transition to it. But real quickly, though, just congratulations to Kim English, man. Good. Hopefully you do well.
Let me lead us into this one, Rob.
Okay.
You kind of normally take the helm on that because, you know, this is your baby. And those of you who don't know, real quick, this has been Rob's thing for quite a while now. So, you know, the fact that he put all the time and effort into this initially, and, you know, it's had a few gaps in time, but this has been Rob's baby. So Rob is Mr. No BS. But anyway, so – last week in the first round of the NCAA tournament, we had another 16 seed beat a 1 seed for the second time ever. And it was to the day that
the day after.
Yeah. See, this is why you lead us into topics, because you get shit right. I don't get shit right.
So. That's all right. No, so it was the day after the anniversary that UMBC beat Virginia.
Which you think is a bigger upset, Rob? Purdue losing in the first round to Fairleigh Dickinson? Actually, they like to be called FDU, so excuse me.
To answer your question, you know what? And I thought about this. I'm going to have to say FDU in this sense, only because, well, first off, like you said, it's the second time it's ever happened. I never thought that I would see it in my lifetime. But to see it twice is fucking incredible. And the thing that was crazy about this one, when the first time that it happened, you kind of got a grist within like the first, towards the end of the first half, that this was possible, because UMBC just straight up owned Virginia. This one was a little bit more a surprise, because it wasn't a beatdown. But to answer your question, what I think is the best, biggest upset, I'm going to have to go with FDU. The only reason why I say that is because FDU wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament. They only made the tournament because so they lost to Merrimack, I believe it was.
Yes, Merrimack in the final.
They lost them in the final, but the only, instead of Merrimack, it's the NCAA rule. Merrimack just made the transition from D1 to D2, or from D2 to D1. And NCAA has a stupid rule that once you make a transition, you can't play in the NCAA tournament for like 4 years or something like that. So it's a stupid rule. So FDU made it to the tournament, even though they weren't supposed to. So for that reason, for the fact they weren't even supposed to be there, I think that just puts an aspect to it. Also, FDU was the smallest team in the country. Adam, did you know they're ranked 363 out of 363 D1s at average height? Like, that's pretty crazy. And they weren't the best defensive team throughout the season. They finished 359th in defensive efficiency in the season. So you put all those things, the factor, and I don't know about you, Adam. I can't really say I've never heard of UMBC either, but I never heard of FDU. And I remember you and I were doing the show, and I think you and I just finished the show and FDU had won. And I was like, well, they won by 20 just to lose by 20. And so that kind of just puts in perspective how much faith we had in that team. But it's fairly impressive. It's fairly impressive. The only sad note is to that is their coach is leaving them already. Which I think anyone called. I mean, when you beat a number one seed and then you played pretty well against Florida Atlantic, which I thought they were going to pull that one out. I thought there's no way in hell they obtained this coach. And
so they also, quick side note, they prefer to go by Florida Atlantic instead of FAU. So yeah, okay. You got FDU and Florida Atlantic. Makes no sense, yeah. But anyway, continue.
So if anyone you see like a coach make a big run with a small school, you naturally think there's no way in hell he's staying. You know, it happened with Shaka Smart. He eventually left. And now you have the coach Tobin. He replaced Bettino at Iona. So he called got a little one. Bit of
called that one.
Yeah, you did. And those of you who don't know, he is now the coach of St. John's, Rick Pitino, that is. And so kind of a big, funny, a big, coaching carousel, you know, the coach. So Kim English replaces Providence head coach, who's now the head coach at Georgetown. You know, it's just a big coach carousel going on. But sorry, get off topic, though. But I think it's FDU. Only for the fact that they literally should not have been in the tournament. You know, they didn't get they only made it because the team who actually should have been could not by rule. But you know what? And they're the first 16 seed to win two games in a tournament. And honestly, I thought they were going to win three. I was pulling for them hard. Like, I would have been really cool to see them play. So I'm going to go with the FDU. What about you?
Definitely FDU, because the part that it's everything you said, but the part that you didn't mention, they have who's probably going to be the college basketball player, Naismith player of the year in Edie on their team, who's a 7'3" guy who got exposed big time in that game.
did.
So that might lose him the National Player of the Year. But anyway, he was a unanimous first-team All-American and selection for potential Player of the Year. So to
let me ask you this. Can he lose it? Is it one of those things like the MVP in the NFL where it's voted before, like the end of the season before the tournament, or is it like voted on after the tournament, or do you know?
So it's one of those things where they say that the tournament doesn't count, but you know damn well it does because it's all about in the moment and the now.
But how do we know that the votes weren't taken after the tournament or after the season before the tournament is what I'm asking.
Do you have a vote? Do you have a vote?
Do I have a vote?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. Is it voted amongst writers and stuff, or is it amongst the fan, or how does that work?
It's amongst writers and people that are associated with the NCAA, but no one is going to come out and say that when the vote is final. And if they do, who knows if they're telling the truth? I think he deserves to win it. But I don't think that – I think the tournament does sway people if the vote is taken after the tournament starts. And even if – we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If anyone that's going to listen to this or listening knows, please let us know on the Facebook page or the Instagram message page, something like that. But anyway, back to the question. FDU's was a way more – shocker to me because Virginia, like we talked about in the last episode, their whole MO is about having great and amazing defense, but they can't score points at times. So
yeah,
that doesn't surprise me as much if you got a team that can't score in a tournament. Defense does translate over pretty well to the NCAA tournament, but if you can't score the basketball, I mean, you can't win games because that's how you get points. So definitely FDU beating Purdue. That was more of a shocker. And their coach leaving, I get it, but I think it's kind of fucked up because he definitely, like, if you watched his press conferences and everything, he seemed like he was super humble, and he maybe is. But he climbed the ladder from D3 to D2. This is his first year in D1, and then he jumped ship and went to where did he end up going? I know you said it, but
he replaced Rick Pitino at Iona.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I can't knock him. I mean, when we all have a chance for advancement, I mean, I can't be a hypocrite and say if, an advancement opportunity came in my own job, we wouldn't jump at it. So, but obviously we're talking about sports and you're trying to build a program and, you know, now you just put them on the map and now you're just going to dip out, you know, but whatever I can't knock the guy. I'm sure he got a nice little pay raise. Let me ask you this though, real quickly about Virginia. You mentioned the last 3 years of Virginia in the tournament. At what point do you think that Tony Bennett becomes on the hot seat?
You're talking about Purdue, right? Because Purdue was the team I was referring to.
You're right. My bad. Sorry, we were talking about Virginia there for a minute. But yeah, so do you think Purdue's head coach? Oh yeah, that's right. Purdue the last 3 years. Had lost to a 13, what was it, 13, 14, and now 16, right?
Yeah, I think I couldn't remember what the seed was 2 years ago, but you're right, it was a 13 seed.
So at what point, sorry, that's what I meant at, the Purdue head coach, at what point do you think he starts becoming on the hot seat?
Probably should have been last year, to be honest.
I mean, you can't have back-to-back or back-to-back-to-back. Feels like that and not be on a hot seat. So I guess we'll see. I'm sure he'll be back.
Last year they had Jaden Ivey on the team, and Jaden Ivey was a lottery pick in the NBA draft along with Edie. Yeah. So
yeah, and to your credit, I want to give credit to you, Adam. Before the tournament started, correct me if I'm wrong, I asked you which number one seed do you think is the most vulnerable or whatever, and you said Purdue. So I don't think you imagined they were going to lose to a 16 seed, but you were right, and you called it 16 that Purdue would be the first one seed to lose. So you were right.
Is there another instance where I predicted something right?
You did.
Holy cow.
You did. So Adam is he's on a roll. I don't know if he's on a roll. I forget who you picked in the Final Four. I'm pretty sure you're not on a roll there, but
oh, it's not important.
So yeah, I agree with you. But that was a fun game to watch. I have to tell you, you know, I was watching it, and I was, you know, usually in those 16-1 games, the 16 seed will kind of come out strong, and then they'll kind of fade away. And then, but when it started getting that last 5 minutes of the game, I was like, holy crap, this might happen again. And it was fun. I don't know if you were watching, if you're watching TV, they started posting UMBC's tweets from their Twitter account. And it was funny. He goes, "We've been lonely. Finally, we have a friend." And I thought that was just like, that was like freaking hilarious. They're talking about what should we name our club? You know, just, it was just funny shit like that. And so let me ask you this, Adam, before we move on. Do you think that, especially in the age of the portal and all that stuff, do you think we're going to start seeing maybe a 16 beat us one more common? Like, do you think it's going to become something that's going to start coming more often? Or do you think these are like something we're only going to see every 5 or 6 years?
So if you kind of keep up with college basketball, I kind of noticed like a trend that kept building and building about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, where it wasn't super teams anymore. It wasn't Kentucky having five NBA players like they did a few years ago when they had Anthony Davis and Devin Booker and that group. You got schools that have like two or three players, but guys are going to schools now where they can be the star, you know what I mean, and get their draft stock up. So you have more NBA talent, ready talent, going to smaller schools or schools that don't have as much NBA ready or talent on their team. So I think that the competition level, which we talked about a few weeks ago too, that it I think this year's college basketball competition, it was a wide open tournament that we agreed that there wasn't like Alabama's the number one seed for a reason, but I know I'm not sold on them winning, even though I have them winning the whole thing. But yeah. I do think that I think parity is playing a huge factor in college basketball, because I don't think that it's real dominant schools anymore, like with a bunch of good players. I think that guys are going to individual and even smaller schools, like I said. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, absolutely. The portal has definitely changed things. It's allowing people to opt out on their own, or when new coaches are being hired, you know, they're being forced to transfer. And you know, I definitely I don't think we're going to start seeing this every year where 16 beats a one, but I do think that maybe this is going to be something that becomes every 2 years we see this. Or, you know, it's definitely, like I said, I never thought it was going to happen in my lifetime, as I mentioned before, but I definitely didn't think it was going to happen twice in my lifetime.
I get the portal thing, but I still feel like players are going to schools without even the transfer portal and starting like that.
Not only that, but I also think the whole NBA thing is gonna because these top prospects now, you have other options now. You don't. It used to be, in order to go to the NBA, you had to go to college 1 year. Well, now they have options. Well, you know, now you can go to the G League and make money right. Well, obviously now they can make money right away now because the NIL. But I'm saying prior to NIL, you can instead of going to play college for 1 year, where you're just gonna, you know, mess around for 1 year, you know, just because you're only there because you can't go pro. Now you can go pro in the G League, make money right away. You know, then there's always overseas. And so I whenever they started doing the G League, I already thought that these bigger schools were in trouble anyway. And so now you open up the portal and all these other things. I definitely think that these powerhouses are going to be no longer powerhouses. You know, like, obviously Duke's – I mean, now that I think that Coach K is gone, I don't think Duke's going to be Duke anymore. I mean, North Carolina, I mean, we saw what happened to them. They were the preseason number one, didn't even make the tournament. I think the college game is a little bit of a in trouble, just because big names are not going to go to these big schools because they don't necessarily have to, if that answers your question. So,
yeah, it does. So I think that's a good segue to kind of the next part I wanted to ask you, and then we can go into maybe picking our Sweet 16 picks. But what game stood out to you in the first two rounds? Because I know you watched a lot of college ball. I definitely actually, for the first time in a couple of years, caught a lot of games. So what games stood out to you personally? And what teams maybe like are surprising you?
That was what I was going to ask you, is what team impressed you. I'm going to have to go with UConn. UConn is the team that's impressed me most. I mean, they had a little bit of a rough start against Iona, but they got it together. They handled St. Mary's 70-55. I think that their star, Adama Sanago, and I'm probably totally butchered his name, and I'm sorry about that. But he's played pretty well. Adam, did you know that he became the third Connecticut player ever to have at least 25 points and 10 rebounds in an NCAA game?
So is that maybe up there with what's the guy's name? Drummond? Is he one?
Let me take a look here. So it was Ray Allen and DeAndre Daniels, actually.
So a no-name and a scrub that left a championship team to go to a LeBron team. Got it. Cool.
And became another champion. Yes, that guy. That's the team that's impressed me, UConn. I think UConn plays tonight in the Sweet 16. So I against Arkansas, which that team surprised me too. I mean, they beat number one Kansas.
That's going to be a hell of a game. That's going to be a very good game.
I agree. I'm gonna take UConn narrowly, and we'll get to our predictions. And I know that there's one game going on right now, but we'll predict that too. But yeah, real quickly, what's the team or maybe two teams that impressed you?
So let me go with a couple games first, okay? So Florida Atlantic versus Memphis. The last like 12 minutes of that game was awesome. Fucking Penny Hardaway lost that game for Memphis. They had three timeouts with under 45 seconds left. And he calls all three timeouts on pretty much back-to-back-to-back possessions while they're up by 1 point and doesn't leave a timeout with 15 seconds left. Florida Atlantic inbounds the ball and ends up making a layup with 5 seconds left. So, or no, it was less than that. It was 3 seconds, I think. So Memphis has no timeouts, and they have to advance the ball up half court and get a prayer for a shot. They don't even get a shot off. Penny Hardaway throws his water bottle into the stands like before the game's even over. He lost that game for him. He ruined a great game for that team and that school. So that game was really good. The TCU, who'd they play in the first round? They played let me look real quick. They played Arizona State. That was a fun game.
Yeah.
TCU-Gonzaga was a really fun game also. Teams that impressed me, though, I've got three. You have to go with Princeton because Princeton manhandled Mizzou. I mean,
They did. They did.
It doesn't surprise me because that's Mizzou sports for you. But,
yeah.
Like, that was Princeton a tough one looked to watch. Princeton looked like they might not win just – you know, they might be able to make it to the Elite Eight against Creighton. They looked really good. Then another team, I got to go with Gonzaga, man. Gonzaga took out my national runner-up in TCU. I wasn't real big on Gonzaga this year, but they look like a legitimate team, and they can make some noise the rest of the tournament.
Maybe when they're not the number one seed in powerhouses, maybe that's when when they don't have all that pressure is when they start playing well.
I mean, if they have Drew Timmy, they got a shot. And then another team, I was kind of high on them going into the tournament, so it's not really a surprise to me, but Kansas State. I know they're playing right now and they're up 43-38 at halftime. But I did say that I liked K-State. Keontae Johnson is an amazing player from – we talked about his story on the last episode, the transfer from Florida. And they were picked to finish last in the Big 12 this year.
And now they're the last remaining Big 12 team.
Yeah. which is crazy.
Texas is still winning. My bad, Texas.
Yeah, but it's crazy to think how good the Big 12 was, and there's only two teams left.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what we talked about beginning of the tournament, how this is a lot of parity in a wide open tournament, so that kind of showed it.
Yeah, so those three teams definitely stand out to me.
Yeah, I like those. I like those. I was going to say it was between UConn and K-State for me. I would not be surprised if K-State won today. And I know in our bracket challenge, I think the number one person has K-State in their Final Four. So that's looking pretty good. So
I wanted to go with them, but I just – the thing that kind of stood out to me was if Duke made a run or Purdue was able to make it, I just didn't think they matched up well against them, but they dodged both those bullets. So, yeah. And they're in the most – I mean, their bracket is like that portion of the bracket. They got a 9 seed in Florida Atlantic, a 4 seed in Tennessee, a 3 seed in Michigan State's a 7. So it's kind of wide open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned already K-State's playing already in the Sweet 16. So the Sweet 16 officially kicks off tonight. One's going on right now. Actually, I think the second one's about to start.
It actually started. It's 25-17 UConn with 10 minutes and 37 seconds left in the first half.
Okay. All right. So coming into the game, so this is who I had in the Sweet 16 prediction. So starting off with K-State, Michigan State. So I went with K-State here. Although both teams are led by dynamic scorers, for Michigan State, you have Tyson Walker. And then obviously for K-State, you have Marquise Noel. And then obviously, as you just said, Keontae. Both teams had dynamic scores, like I said. I just went with K-State here. Coaching-wise, I go Michigan as far as Tom Izzo. That was the only thing that made me think that maybe K-State would win. Michigan State. But I went with K-State for that game. It looks like that's showing it's going well for me so far right now. Adam, who did you have in that game? Or I know the game started, but who did you go going into this game? Who did you pick?
So I had K-State in that game against Marquette. And, you know, Michigan State, they, like I said previously, when a team's got, like, extra inspiration, that typically is a team to kind of keep an eye on. And with what happened at the Michigan State campus with the school shooting, unfortunately, I don't know if that just motivated them more, because they came back and they played arguably their best basketball the entire season after that happened. So, yeah. And it's Tom Izzo, and you can never, when you got a great coach, Hall of Fame coach like that at the helm, you can't ever pick against them. But I still am pretty confident, with that being said, that K-State's going to win this game. I had them in my Elite Eight, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, me too. The next game, you already mentioned, it's already going on. UConn's winning right now. Prior to the game, I had UConn winning that game. I just think that the Huskies, you know, they dominate the offensive glass through Sanago. And, you know, they rely on multiple shooters. I know Arkansas does have 3 NBA prospects, including former 5-star recruit Nick Smith Jr. But I think that UConn is the most complete team coming into this game, so I went with UConn there.
And what about Musselman taking his shirt off?
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I didn't exactly know who that was initially. And I was like, wait, that's the coach?
So he's got NBA coaching experience. He coached at Nevada a few years ago and then took the Arkansas job after Mike Anderson was let go and went to St. John's. So he's got some – he's a great coach.
Where did he coach in the NBA?
So he wasn't a head coach, but he was like a head assistant coach. I want to say with like the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
For some reason, I could be wrong on that. If you want to look that up, I don't want to. Okay. I mean, we don't have Elias Sports like ESPN does at our.
Yeah, don't worry. It's no big deal. I just didn't know if you knew on the top of your head.
But I had Kansas. I had Rock Chalk Nation in the Elite Eight game against UConn. This game, though, Man, I'm gonna go with Arkansas in this game.
Oh, okay.
Because a coach that is like that and like does shit like that, I can get behind a coach like that. And yeah. I'm not saying anything about Odom as UConn's coach because he's a great coach too. He came from Rhode Island there. But I know UConn's got some studs on that team, but man, Arkansas looked really impressive against Kansas.
You said Odom. Isn't it a Hurley, the coach?
Oh, Hurley. I'm sorry. Yes, Hurley. Kansas Arkansas was the best game of the tournament so far. I can't believe I forgot about that game.
That was a good game.
That was a banger for sure. But no, I'm going to go with Arkansas in this game. I'm going to roll with the underdog.
All right. Sweet. All right. Okay. Moving on to the next one. FAU versus Tennessee. I want to buy you, Adam, but I'm rolling with Tennessee here. I just think the Owls do have a solid 3-point shooting. You know, they have been a solid 3-point shooting team all year. But I just think Tennessee's a very physical team, often forces teams into tougher than usual threes. I honestly think that this could be a blowout. I think this game could be over early. So I'm going to take Tennessee. I am a betting man. So I'm going to say Tennessee plus 10.5. Or I'm going to say, minus 10.5. That's what I should say. They're going to win, I think, by 10 points or more.
So I had Purdue and Duke in that one. Obviously missed on both those. Florida Atlantic has looked good at times, but I do think that their run comes to an end because Tennessee got hot in the tournament so far. And when you have a team that figures it out in the first round and can keep that going, it's very difficult to beat them. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. If we're going to go plus minus, I don't think it's that much of a blowout. I'm going to go 7 points.
All right. I like that. Too bad Oklahoma is not a betting sports state. You and I can do something fun with that. Let's go next one. Gonzaga, UCLA. You already talked about them. You like Timmy. This is a rematch from it's a rematch between two story programs. And the last time these two teams played, Jalen Suggs hit a half court shot at the buzzer to win.
One of the best college basketball games of probably the last 10 years.
Yeah, was that an Elite Eight game?
Final four.
Okay, I knew it was one of those. So we have a rematch of that. Obviously, Jalen Suggs is no longer there, as he is now in the NBA. But Timmy's still there. I don't know if it's going to come down to a buzzer beating game, but I do think it's going to be a good game. I have UCLA going pretty far in my bracket. Although I did have UCLA going far, I'm going to ride with Gonzaga in this one because I think Timmy's playing pretty well. So I'm going to go the Zags on this one.
So before the tournament started, UCLA, one of their starters got injured and is out for the tournament, but they inserted a true freshman. And the guy is not the defensive player, but he's more of a scorer. And his energy, he kind of reminds me of a Jordan Poole type player from watching their two games. I thought UCLA would – I honestly, when I heard that player was hurt, I think his name's like – last name's Campbell. But I thought that took UCLA back a notch. But the first go-around of filling out the bracket, I had them go into the Final Four, and I kind of backed off of it because I just felt like the injury might hurt them. But it seems like they figured out how to play with the freshman that's in the game now. This should be a good game. I know I said earlier about Gonzaga what I said, but I'm going to roll UCLA in this game. They were my pick to kind of make a very deep run early before I solidified my bracket, and I should have stuck with them. But
way to have pick integrity and sticking with it.
Well, you know, I mean, I something about TCU and Kansas State. I thought that they were either one of them could make a run, and I rolled the dice with TCU, and
that worked out just great. Yeah. Well, either way, I would not be surprised if UCLA went all the way. As obviously, I told you, I had them going to the Final Four, so. Or at least in the Elite Eight. So I would not be surprised. Moving on to Alabama, they're the top overall seed. They have the best player in this tournament in Miller. who's going to be a top five pick in the draft this year. I mean, and speaking of top five, I mean, the Clemson Tide are playing top five defense right now. I do think it's going to be a good – I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think that ultimately, though, Alabama has the better team, and I think they're going to win this game. But I don't – yeah, I'm going to say Alabama minus 6.5.
So. Okay. Let's see. Bama and San Diego State. I'm going to make this one short. I have Bama win the whole thing. I'm going with Bama in this one. I think this one might be a 10 to 12 point win for Bama. So I'm going to go with Bama by 12.
So Bama rolls the Aztecs.
Roll Tide. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Then moving on to Miami versus Houston. So Houston is 15-1 in their last 16 games. Their last loss came against Memphis in the ACC title game. But keep in mind, Sasser was sidelined with an injury. I have more interest in this game since I will be watching this game live. So I'm interested in watching this. It's kind of funny. So speaking of Miami, I don't know if you knew this, Adam. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on the women's side of the bracket, but the women and men both beat Indiana in the round of 32. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah. Them and Tennessee. Yeah. I think them and Tennessee are the two schools that have, they're in the Sweet 16 for the men's and women's, but yeah, that is crazy to beat the Saints.
And UConn.
Oh, I forgot about UConn. Yeah. But
just how crazy it is for both teams to beat both men and women, both beat Indiana.
What kind of gut punch is that, man? For a university.
Yeah, right. Like if you're Indiana, do you hate any school more than Miami right now? But I think this is gonna be a blowout though. But although for my own personal interest, so my father-in-law and I have been talking. You know, he was like, "Has there been an overtime game in this tournament so far?" I was like, "No, there hasn't been." How cool would it be? Was since we'll be watching this game live, if both of the games tomorrow went overtime. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be pretty cool. But I'll take Houston in this game. I think this one has the potential to be a blowout as well. But Houston has a tendency of kind of letting teams back in. You know, they may get up big, but then they let them back. But I'm going to take Houston. I think ultimately they win by 10 or plus more points.
Yeah. I'm going to make this one quick too. Houston has, their NBA ready player, best player in the conference, Sasser, ready. He's playing. I'm going Houston on this one. Miami's little run here runs out, and Houston makes it one more step closer to playing a Final Four in their home city.
And remember, I asked you a question at the beginning of the show, when's the last time that a team hosted? And I found the answer to that. It was actually UCLA. Way back when. It's the last time that a hosting school or whatever, you know, won the whole thing. It was UCLA.
So when you say way back when, is that like John Wooden era?
I think it was during the John Wooden era, I believe. But it could – I don't know. I have to look at the dates. But I just heard that on ESPN that it was actually UCLA was the last time that happened. So moving on. So Princeton, Creighton. Now, you said that – you already said you thought Princeton could make a run. I will say they have looked impressive. I mean, they shot Mizzou out of the building. It just seems like
– Dude, they shot Mizzou out of the building. They rebounded Mizzou out of the building. They played better defense than Mizzou. There's not one thing that Mizzou did well in that game.
It sucks because it was the same day that KU got eliminated. So it would have been just for, you know, our hatred towards Kansas would have been nice to be like, it's Mizzou in the Sweet 16 and not KU.
Hey, Mizzou made it about 20 to 30 minutes longer than KU did. That's all that matters.
Right. And I was talking to one of my, you know, I work with a bunch of KU fans and they were kind of giving me a hard time. I was like, hey, we had no expectations to be in the tournament this year. You guys had expectations. We're talking about repeat. So if you want to talk about what was more of a letdown, it's you. So just for the record, because Mizzou was picked to finish like second to last in their conference and they finished fourth. and the first year coach of Dennis Gates, and to win 26 games and make it to the round of 32, that's uncalled for. You know, that's crazy. So, yeah, but anyway, to get back on track, Princeton looked pretty well. I got to be honest with you, I haven't watched a ton of Creighton games this year. I know that they have a ton of playmakers at each position. I know they've ranked top 25 in both adjusted offense and defense efficiency, and they're 14-4 in their past 18 games. But I just think that they hit a lot of threes against Mizzou, and I think that sometimes your hot shooting doesn't always transition and follow to the next game. So I'm going to ride with Creighton here, but I'm not like super confident in that. I would not be surprised if Princeton won, but I'm going to go with Creighton here.
I'm going to go with the smart pick since we do have an Ivy League school team here. I'm going Princeton Tigers, baby. I'm going Princeton to make the Elite Eight.
All right.
I think the way that they're playing, they are playing great team ball. Everyone's stepping up. They got guys coming off the bench hitting 5 and 6 threes. They had a player hit 5 threes in back-to-back games in the tournament off the bench. You got someone like that? Yeah. I'm going Princeton Tigers over Creighton.
All right. I like that. I like whenever you and I go opposite so we can see who has the bragging rights. And then the final game, and I'm also excited about this game. I mean, even before, so I'll be able to watch this game live tomorrow too. But even before I decided I was going to the game, this is the game I was looking forward to the most. I just think that both teams – I just think this, out of all the matchups, this one was set up to be the best one. Outside of the Arkansas-UConn, like, that was a close second. But it should be the best of all the games. They're both highly experienced teams that can really score. I think this is going to be a really high-scoring game. I want to look at the over-under on this game real quick, if you don't give me a second. So the over-under on this game.
I'll go with my pick for the game.
I have it right here, actually, if you don't mind. So the over-under on this game is over-under 149.5. And just looking at these other games, that's the highest projected over-under games for this tournament so far coming into the game. And so I think that if you're someone listening to this podcast prior to this game, I would take the over on the over 149.5. I think it's going to be somewhere 60 as far as total. Texas right now is a 4.5. I think that Xavier could cover that. I think they can win by 3 or less points. Or they could either lose or, you know, I think that they could easily make this a, you know, a 3-point game or something like that. But I am going to take in this game, although I think I did have Texas going far. I think I had them in the Final Four. I am going to go with Xavier on this one, though. I just think they're playing very well right now. I'm just going to go with Xavier.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to be an honorable guy and go with the team that I picked to win the game initially. I'm not going to change my opinion. But I actually – this is – let me double check real quick. This is the only game that I had right going into the Elite Eight with both teams. So, sweet. 1-for-8.
I'd have to look at my bracket because I'm not sure.
I'm not sold on them because they looked like shit in most of the end of the game against Penn State, but I'm going to go with Texas beating Xavier. I think Texas figures it out in this game and goes into a game against Houston that might be the best game of the Elite Eight. Best matchup, at least.
Right. Okay. I like that. So it'll be interesting to see. We're going to know by Sunday night who's in the Final Four. And so I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing two of those games live tomorrow. So it should be a fun time.
And we talked about it on the last episode, but the bracket pool that we have, we are actually going to Rob and I discussed it, and we are going to have a trophy made up for the winner of our bracket challenge. So when we get done with this and we find the winner, we will contact you. We'd also like to have you on the show. So,
so just out of curiosity, Adam, since we're talking about it, so the number one spot right now belongs to Ross PG3. Do you know who that is? Because I do.
Yes, I do. That is one of the drivers that works here at UPS in Oklahoma City.
Okay, because that was my biggest concern was someone would win and none of us know who it is and have no way of contacting them. So if
Mr. Ryan Ross wins that, he actually does not live too far from me. I can have him over, and he would probably be happy to be on the show and talk about sports. He's actually a former high school basketball player, so he's got some upper end experience playing sports.
Well, he's dominating the league right now. I mean,
look who's in second place, though. Look who's in second place.
Strecker. Oh, Lord.
You have his infant son, Quentin, in second place. So we've tried to get Strecker. We've tried to get Strecker on the show because he has very strong opinions. And if he somehow.
There are a lot of times disagreeing with me.
If he pulls this out, he absolutely has to come on. So, Strecker, if you're listening, it's going to be your time to sign.
I want him on the show regardless. So, but they'd be more fun. But just a shout out Ross right now. All his Final Four teams are intact right now. So they'll be impressive if you get it right. Speaking of the tournament, real quick. So I'm also part of the ESPN bracket. So the number one guy, this is insane. The number one guy who's leading ESPN, he got 15 of the 16 correct. Like that's insane.
What's the one he has wrong?
Let's see. He had Missouri in the Sweet 16. So that's the only. Yeah. So. And there was another guy going into the round of 32 who was in the top five for ESPN. So we're talking millions of people that filled out a bracket. He was top five, but you know who he had as his champion?
It's not Mizzou. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, he had Mizzou.
These are some dumbass journalist students at Mizzou.
How do you feel like? How confident are you? Like, well, damn, my bracket's top five and all of ESPN, but damn, I have Mizzou as my favorite. Like, then you're like, damn it, I know I'm not winning this. Like, don't get me wrong, I thought Mizzou had a good run or what, but to make it all the way to the championship, no, hell no.
Get out of here. Those are definitely Mizzou students.
Yeah, exactly. And so, to put it in perspective, so the number one guy on ESPN has Alabama winning it all, and then we have a bunch of UCLA's. As far as our bracket, the No BS Bracket Challenge, you have your buddy Ross and Becker. They have Houston. So as long as their teams don't lose, they have a good chance of winning. You know, what would really hurt them if they lost in this round. But it looks like you and I, Adam, are going to fall short, though. The only good thing is –
You know what the most important thing is? The most important thing is that I am ahead of you. So that's really all that matters to me.
Let's see, taking applications. So you're ninth, but I have the only good thing is, well, technically if everything goes the rest of the plan, like we agreed on, which that's not going to happen based on our picks. You have the max points above me.
By 10 points, but
you and I don't agree on our picks. So that means there's no way that's going to stay. So one of us, by the end of the night, I have a feeling are going to jump. I think the leader is going to change by the end of the night. I think it's going to be me that's going to finish top five and you just outside. So, but we'll see.
We will see.
The only difference, let me just hypothetically before we move on real quick. So you have.
I can tell you who my final 14. That's TCU, Bama, Houston, and Purdue. So I have two of my teams left in Houston and Bama.
Okay, and I have two of mine too. So you and I both. So the only bad thing is if Bama wins or gets it, that doesn't help me. What would help me is if you said you didn't have Houston, right?
I have Houston in the Final Four, yeah.
But you have Alabama too, right?
Yes.
So really, I can't gain any points there. I would need some of your Elite Eight teams to fall off in order for me. But so we'll see. Real quickly, though, let me just so did you have Texas in Elite Eight? I forget.
I did.
On your bracket, yes. Side, and you had UCLA.
No, I did not. I have TCU. That's
okay. Right. Okay, so that's where I could get you on points. So that's the only way I could jump you at this point is have UCLA make it to the Elite Eight. If UCLA does not make it to the Elite Eight, then I can't jump you. So let's go UCLA even more now. So anyway, all right. Hey, so moving on, let's transition.
One more thing about UCLA. What NBA player went to UCLA that is one of the best players of all time that is currently playing?
I know who you want me to say.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Is it Kevin Love? I'm just fucking with you. I mean, they did play on the same squad, and he is still playing. So technically, I'm not lying there. But you want me to talk about what?
You're not wrong. You're right.
But you want me to say Brody?
The Brody.
Your boy Brody.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The team that if a lot of people think that makes your team worse. Addition by subtraction is what happened with the Lakers when we got rid of Brody.
And that's why they're in tenth place right now in the play-in game. So.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a toughy subject for you. But anyway, so let's move on real quick, Adam. Let's talk about NFL. NFL free agency has been headed going on now for, 2 weeks now? Something like that. There's been a lot of acquisitions. I mean, the Cowboys have been busy, which is unusual for them. Usually they build their team around the draft. They picked up some good players. The Raiders pick up Garoppolo. Yep. They're big now. He's on the other side of Stephon Diggs now.
Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs. Yeah. Sorry. Diggs. You're right. Sorry, my bad. Then you have Garoppolo to the Raiders. And then you have I know I missed some other ones. Then you had what's-his-face to the Saints. Carr. Out of all the acquisitions that have happened, which one do you like most? Which one do you think is going to make the most immediate impact?
Out of all the free agent acquisitions?
Yeah, so far.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Oh, so far. Excuse me. So far.
Yeah. I like that, though.
Let me see here. Oh man, you caught me on the spot here. I have to think about it. I mean, Stephon Gilmore, he's a little older, but that could be immediate good, great move.
Why you think
it's not a sexy one, but Orlando Brown, the offensive lineman from the Chiefs, going to the Bengals to block Burroughs, I think. Is he a left tackle or a right tackle?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not entirely. I think he's a left, though.
Yeah, but, so he's going to block Burroughs' left side.
I do like that. And how is it more, if you're a Chiefs fan, the fact that he kind of went to the enemy. Like, damn. But then again, you guys weren't going to pay him his money, so you really can't be mad. But I do like that one, too, because I think Joe Burrow's that guy. And so now, they had all those injuries to the offensive line. Back-to-back weeks, so you get someone like Orlando Brown. That's huge for them, so I like that.
Yeah, so I would go with that. Garoppolo's an interesting one to the Raiders. That could actually work out pretty well. That was a trade. But, the biggest one's going to be when it happens, which it's going to happen, which I've been saying for – couple months now, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets will be the biggest one because they've already got Lazard. They traded for who'd they trade for, Rob? They traded for Hardman from the Chiefs yesterday. Yep. And then they've got
the defense is already ready to go. So, it's Sauce Gardner and the running back who got hurt. I kept spacing on his name right now.
Bryce.
But, yeah, they haven't really.
What's his name? Bryce Hart? Is that his name?
No. But what was their Achilles heel last year was their defense. Or, sorry, was their offense. Their defense is what everyone was raving about. And all they said, if they just had a decent quarterback behind center, they'd be okay. So definitely Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So Aaron Rodgers will be the biggest acquisition, I think, this unless you Brees know Hall, Lamar Jackson still hangs. Yeah, obviously Lamar Jackson's still hanging out there too. So obviously, I mean, Lamar Jackson could find himself somewhere else other than Baltimore. So that I think that would even top Aaron Rodgers personally, for me anyway. Especially if he ends up in Atlanta, but I don't think that's happening. But
check this out. Zeke, who got cut by the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott. The Jets are the favorites to sign him. They're favorites to sign.
Yeah, but that doesn't move the needle for me. Zeke is more of a fullback now. We just talked about the
whatever.
I mean, we just talked about Brees or whatever. I mean, he's not gonna. What's he gonna do? Split carries with him?
Yeah, but he's coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah, no. Zeke.
So that means that he's out. He's out a year from the point it happened, more than likely. So,
yeah, but Zeke
is going to go. Zeke is going to go eat in New York. He's going to go feast in New York.
He's going to eat on the New York pizza, and he's going to get big, and he's not going to do anything. I feel very confident in saying that. So, it doesn't move the needle for me whatsoever.
You also felt confident that a 28-3 halftime Super Bowl lead was good enough.
Man, are you trying to hurt my feelings? Because VR is working. Anyway, I'm just going to ignore that rude-ass comment by Adam. But I'm going to say the biggest acquisition is not even a player. I think the biggest acquisition was Sean Payton getting traded to the Broncos. And I know a lot of people think, like, well, he got traded, but because he retired, the Saints still had the rights to him. So they did have to make a trade for him. So the Broncos chicken up Sean Payton. I think it's going to have more of an impact than any player acquisition. And that's Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. When I say that, I just think that Sean Payton is going to have the biggest impact. I mean, he's a quarterback guru, you know, I mean, he played quarterback himself. He made Drew Brees into a Hall of Fame quarterback. I just think, and especially, and maybe a low-key dark horse pick, you know, Ryan, if he signs with as a defense coordinator, I just think that the Broncos team are going to be a team to look out for. Because just like the Jets, they're already solidified on defense. They just need a good quarterback, and they have Russell Wilson, who did play terrible. I just don't think that Russell Wilson is going to play that terrible back-to-back years. I just don't think he's going to, especially with
I think Russ is on the downward spiral, man.
I mean, I do think he's – I mean, he's obviously not going to – he's not – this whole let Russ cook thing in Seattle, those days are behind him, but I don't think he's that bad. Like, I refuse to believe he's that bad. I just don't think when you're that talented, you just lose it that quickly.
Here's their biggest problem, Rob. Here's their biggest problem. They have way too many number two wide receivers. They don't got number one. Judy's not number one.
I would agree.
Sutton's not number one. They have too many number twos. They got to get rid of at least – and there's another wide receiver that's like – I forget who it is because I don't really follow the Broncos, but he had a pretty solid year. They need to get rid of one or two of those guys and get a number one wide receiver in there for them to be.
I think Judy could become a number one. I don't think he's there yet, but I think he could be their number one. But you obviously need a good solid number two, and that's maybe where I think they're lacking. But I think that Judy could become a number one. I really do. So that's for me, Adam. I think that's good. I would like to say this, Adam, just for talking about my team here, the Falcons. You know, we were talking about all these quarterbacks carousel that could fall in places, and we were talking about the Falcons maybe getting, you know, Garoppolo or who else did we mention out there that wasn't
Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston. We talked about getting maybe Trey Lance or something like that. Or a Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy. I think we said, but who did the Falcons go and sign? A Taylor Heineke. Right? Yeah, and I'm just like, Heineke for real?
Dude had a good year for the Nash or the Commanders.
Yeah, but he's from, according to the Falcons, he's coming into back. So we'll see. Like I said, we talked about my last show. The Falcons are on the clock for me as far as my fan. The only way they lose me as a fan, draft Richardson or some other quarterback in this draft, then I'm out. As a Falcons fan, I will be switching to Hude. I've already decided. I will become a Hude fan, and I'm ready to ride that Bengals train. So if the Falcons don't want to lose me as a fan, you know what not to do. So I just want to throw that out there. So, yeah. Adam, we're at the part of the show where maybe we
have... Wait, one more. What, since you threw your team in there?
Okay.
Patrick Peterson going to the Steelers. That's a good one, too.
That's a great thing. I knew... I was wondering if you're going to bring that up. So, yeah, that I have to admit that is a pretty good pickup for you guys. I can't lie there. Adam. So let's close out the show. What's something you want to close out the show? I know you were kind of heated by something that happened in college basketball over the last few days, and it has nothing to do with the NCAA tournament. So, Adam, I give you the floor. What's really got your your gears grinding?
So what's really pissing me the hell off is there's a college basketball player. He is a senior, I think a fifth-year senior, plays for the Detroit Mercy University. His name's Antoine Davis. His dad, the coach, is actually Mike Davis. He was a former NBA coach or a former college coach at a bigger school. I can't remember where. It might have been Indiana. But anyway, it's his son.
What was his name again?
Mike Davis. Anyway, his son finished 4 points shy of becoming the all-time collegiate men's basketball leading scorer. And the leading scorer in NCAA men's history is Pistol Pete Maravich, who, by the way, I will forever be linked to, because the day I was born was actually the day that Pistol Pete died. And true story, like I was telling Rob, I was told from both my parents, so it wasn't just a he said, she said situation, that as my dad went to hold me in the hospital, he was like, I guess he had was holding me for the first time for a couple of minutes, and then they broke on the TV that Pistol Pete had passed away, and he was overcome with emotion and couldn't hold me anymore. So I guess that shows where precedence was taken. But anyway, Pistol Pete ended up finishing with 3,667 points. So that means Davis finished with 3,663. Now, mind you, Pistol Pete only played 3 years of college ball. And not only that, no three-point line. So think about that for a second. No three-point line, all-time leading scorer in college basketball history. 3 years he played. Anyway, so Antoine Davis came out and said that he thinks that people don't want him to break the record because they didn't select his team to make a tournament. So they have the NCAA tournament. They have the NIT tournament. There's the College Basketball Invitational, and then there's a new one this year. The NCAA tournament has how many teams now? 68?
Yep.
Okay. The NIT has 32. So that's 90, that's 100 teams right there, right? Then you have the CBA, which has 8 teams, which is 108. And I don't know what the new one has. I'm assuming it's probably 8. So you're going to get mad because you weren't one of the 116 best teams. You lost in your college or your conference's championship game. How the fuck are you going to have any leg to stand on, dude? What did you do to get your team to a tournament? You did nothing. You scored a lot of points, but your team didn't win games because they didn't play team ball, because you were scoring so many points and being selfish. How are you going to come out and say that you feel shafted because you didn't make a tournament and you think that people are blue balling you for to not break Pistols Pete Maravich's record? Get the hell out of here.
I mean, they only won 14 games, right?
Yeah, get the hell out of here. I mean, seriously, no ground to stand on, dude. Shut the hell up. Like, the fact that you're even saying that just goes to show why your team didn't win games, because you're a selfish player. And you played for your dad, who probably ran plays just for you because that's what a dad would do. Get out of here, that bullshit. That really pissed me off because, like I said, to have that record alone is amazing. To have it without a three-point line is even more amazing. And you're going to try to downplay it and say that, my team got shafted for or should have made a tournament. Dude, get out of here. Get out of here with that bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't get to watch Pistol Pete play, but the dude was a legend. If you ever get a chance, watch some of his videos dribbling the basketball and facilitating. He was one of the first real flashy passers in the NBA. And that's a true story. So if you don't know anything about Pete Maravich, go watch video of him. When I was a kid and my dad was actually our coach, there's a series that Pete Maravich and his dad, Press Maravich, who was his coach at LSU, put out about like different drills and things to get better at basketball and play better. We actually watched a lot of those tapes when I was growing up and on teams that I played for. So, Pistol Pete will forever hold a spot close to me. And Antoine Davis, dude, you're a scrub. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah, the thing that lost me, like, I can understand if they, you know, this, when I first heard he was mad because they didn't make a tournament, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of get his frustration. But then I heard the record of 14 and 19 or something. I was like, yeah, I don't know. You kind of lost me there, too. Real quickly, talk about it. So here's some of Maravich's stats. Like you said, he only played 3 years. So here's the stats per game here. So in his first year, 43.5 points per game. His second year, you know, he just improved it to 44.2 points per game. And then in his final year, he improved that to 44.5 points per game. It's pretty freaking crazy. And like you already mentioned, in a league that had no three-pointers, you know, that's legit pretty crazy. And then also I'm reading here, Maravich scored more than 60 points in 4 games and even hit 69 against Bama, which is the second highest mark in NCAA 1 history.
Yeah, the dude averaged I think one of the years he played, he averaged 50 points a game.
No, it looks like here the highest he got was 44.5. So that was the highest he got. That's pretty freaking crazy, though.
Without a three-point,
so he averaged 40. Yeah, I know. I mean, 40. But even, I mean, nowadays, even with a three-point line in today's game, no one's doing that. You know, but the more impressively, like, to do it with no three-point line, that's pretty crazy. That's kind of out there with, you know, we were talking about the all-time scoring leader. You know, what was it? We were talking about LeBron. You said that, but only one guy only hit one three in his whole career. Kareem. You know, Kareem was second all time, but he only had one 3-pointer his whole career, which is pretty crazy.
Hey, who won that game between the Lakers and the team that they played when LeBron broke the scoring record?
You know, we both know. We don't have to say it.
I want to hear you say it. Our fans want to hear you say it. Our fans want to hear you say it.
The Seattle Supersonics.
Formerly known as that.
Formerly known. Yeah, yeah. So I'm not wrong. Okay, Adam, the OKC Thunder.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. Who are in, which is the next topic I wanted to hit on real quick, is the NBA standings going into the final couple weeks here. The play-in game, or the last four seeds in the both conferences, actually, more so in the West, there are potentially 9 teams. There's 10 teams technically still eligible to make the last four seeds in the West, but there are 9 teams. If you count Portland, I think they're out. 10 teams that are competing for four spots. Crazy, right?
That's pretty crazy.
Right now, I mean, they're all separated by eight of them are separated by – no, nine of them are separated by two games.
And yeah, I think it's good.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, let me ask you first. Where do you think – give me the final four teams that are going to make it out of the – into the playoffs out of the West, is 7 through 10.
Let me pull up the standings real quick. I need to see it in front of me. So you said the final four spots, so 7 through 10, or
yes, sir.
Crap. Well, I think the Lakers are gonna fall somewhere in there. I'm gonna say they finish eighth, though. I think the Thunder are gonna finish 9 or 10. The Mavericks are gonna fall in there. I think they're gonna stay how they are. I think the 6 through 10 is gonna, like, I think that's gonna be where it falls. Like, I don't think the Jazz are gonna sneak in. I don't think the Pelicans. I don't think the Trail Blazers. So I think the current 6 through 10 is gonna stay as those teams are. I just think they're gonna flop as far as where they final stand. So if I had to say, Adam, I hate to say this, but you know, I think the Thunder move up to 7. I think the Warriors will stay at 6. I think the Lakers could go to 8, Mavericks 9, Timberwolves 10. So I think that's going to be.
All right. Here's my 7 through 10. So 7, we're going to go with the Clippers. Without Paul George, they're going to drop.
And I think he did get hurt. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that Dallas sneaks up into the top 6. So I think Golden State moves up to number 5. Dallas moves to 6. I think the Clippers go at 7. I think OKC gets a home game out of that as the 8th seed. I think 9 is going to be the Timberwolves. And I think the Lakers are going to stay packed at 10. So
okay. And Adam, if you watched or listened to our previous show, Adam predicted at least one series for the Lakers to win. So Adam, let me ask you this.
I think they're going to make it, but I just don't. I don't think that. I mean, you look at the Timberwolves. They just got Cat back yesterday. He's been out since November. It's going to take them a couple games, but that puts them solidly in probably. Then you got the Warriors, who are going to figure out a way to move up a little bit. They're going to win some road games. Then OKC plays the Clippers tonight, and then they play the Lakers tomorrow night. So they actually have 3 games in LA in a row. They played the Clippers 2 nights ago, play them again tonight, then they play the Lakers tomorrow. And then they got a favorable schedule to win. I think they had 13 games left as of Tuesday, and I think that they could probably win 7 to 9 of those, which I think that puts them as the 8th seed. Dallas, I think, will figure it out and jump into the top 6. Because they have too much star power not to. And then I think that the Lakers stay at 10, but I do think that they beat like the number. So they would play the number 7, right? Which I said would be the Clippers. That'd be something.
That would be them.
And then I think even if they lose that game, I think they win the next game. Or no, they'd be eliminated. No, they would be 9 and 10 playing, so it'd be Minnesota and LA. I think they can beat Minnesota, which would eliminate Minnesota. Then they would play the loser of the 7-8 game at the home court of the 7 or 8, which I said would be Clippers or Thunder, which I think the Thunder are going to win their game and make it in as the 8th seed, as the 8th seed. But I think Clippers, Lakers, man, if that happens, holy shit. Someone's going home. Someone's walking to their car and driving home very angry.
And it's going to be Brody. So I'm going to go ahead and call that one. So, and then Brody's going to be a free agent next year because no one's going to want him.
He's going to sign at the Clippers.
Sorry. We'll see. I like that, though, Adam. I like that. Real quick before you leave here, just to get an update on the scores. We have K-State beating Michigan State 7-7, 73 with – under 4 minutes. And then we have UConn comfortably in the lead, 46-29 at halftime. So looks like both of our both of my picks are looking pretty good so far. So I think you went with Michigan State, though, if I'm not
– No, no, no. Slow your roll there.
You went with Arkansas, right?
I did go
with
Arkansas.
So that's not looking good. Yeah, I mean, I know there's a whole other second half to play. And then we have the Tennessee Atlantic and Gonzaga UCLA still to come tonight, so that should be fun. So, Adam, I appreciate you joining me with another great show. As we would like to remind you, and if you haven't already, go to our Facebook page, the No BS Podcast. Give us a like. We also have a No BS Podcast page on Instagram. Go ahead and give that a follow. And then if you missed any show, or if you tune in late to the show at any point of our shows, go back on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, listen to our show. We come to you every single week. Hopefully, if your bracket's still alive, hopefully good luck the rest of the way. Adam, it'll be interesting to see the next time we talk who's leading in the standing.
Yeah, we'll have to try to
you and I.
We'll have to try to get on maybe Sunday night if we got time and do it a quick episode. But I got one more question for you before we leave. I like to throw out these like rando questions just to kind of to learn more about us. So, Rob, are you a short guy playing basketball or a long short guy? And when I mean like short or long, do your shorts go past the knees or are they above the knees?
Past the knee for sure. And then I'm one of those guys that like to wear a sleeve on my arm. I'm one of those guys.
Okay, so we differ there. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm a short guy all the way.
Let me ask you this, Adam. Are you a headband guy or headband guy?
I'm definitely a headband guy. And then I like to wear.
I figured that about you.
I'm either wearing high socks or compression compression pants like over my socks.
I'm a high sock guy too. I always thought they looked pretty cool. So that's me too.
Black or white socks. Black or white, and I'll leave it at that.
Always black. I wear black.
Okay, I agree. I'm same here. Same here.
I don't like white socks. They have an old man kind of feel to me when it's white socks. I always wear black every day.
So, I agree.
Anyway, thanks for sticking with us. We sidetrack a lot in this show, but that's cool. That's what makes it a fun show. But again, like us, follow us, listen to our previous podcast. Adam and I will be back to you next week or maybe even on Sunday to do a Final Four preview, so look forward for that. So Adam, I hope you have a fun weekend, man, and have a great weekend, and we will touch base very soon. Thanks everybody for catching the show, and we will catch you guys next time.
Have a good night, everyone. Peace out.
All right, No BS is out.
Call Hannah Hill. Hey, sorry about that.
Thank you.